Good morning, good people. This is The Local Take. I'm your host, Kiplin Primus. And this morning, I'm speaking with Pamela Schiffman, Executive Director of the Novo Foundation. Pamela Schiffman, welcome to The Local Take.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you.
Tell me about the Novo Foundation. How and when did it come to being, and what is the focus?
Yeah, I'd be happy to share more about the foundation, but I first just want to say thank you to you for your ongoing coverage of issues of sexual exploitation and sex trafficking, which are really core to the work that we do. So I wanted to thank you for that. So the Novo Foundation was created in 2006 by Jennifer and Peter Buffett with a mission to build a more just and balanced world. From day one, we have known that such a world depends on ending all forms of violence and discrimination against all girls and all women everywhere. So over the last 14 years, we've become one of the largest private foundations with an explicit focus on girls and women, including a dedicated focus on ending violence against girls and women and supporting adolescent girls, especially girls of color. We've also worked to advance social and emotional learning, support indigenous communities, and promote local living economies. Across everything we do at the foundation, we address structural inequity and violence. We center communities who face overlapping barriers of racism, misogyny, xenophobia, transphobia, other forms of systemic discrimination. And we believe deeply that centering the leadership of people who live every day with injustice is the single most powerful way to create transformative change.
And there has been research that shows when you help women, you help the whole community be uplifted.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so important. We know that when we support girls and we support women, and when women and girls are able to thrive, everyone thrives.
So now the foundation had a decade of listening and partnership with survivors of sexual exploitation. How did this come about, and when did it start, and who participated in these conversations?
Well, I mentioned that ending violence against girls and women is core to our mission. So from the start, this has included ending the violence of commercial sexual exploitation. And we believe fundamentally that trusting in the leadership and perspective of survivors is the only way to achieve this goal. So from the start of this work over 10 years ago, we've partnered with survivor-led organizations and survivor-informed initiatives. And this has allowed us to continually listen to and learn from their wisdom and to understand the pivotal role that systems play in either closing on-ramps or creating exit ramps to sexual exploitation, which I'm going to explain a bit more about later. But for example, in Atlanta, we're especially excited to support work in Atlanta, in part because of our existing relationship with the mayor's office. Alongside another funder called Humanity United, we're supporting a first-of-its-kind anti-trafficking challenge to develop citywide approaches to better prevent human trafficking and support survivors through the establishment of a senior fellow on human trafficking housed at the mayor's office. But even more fundamentally than that, our understanding of how the sex trade impacts communities experiencing discrimination comes from deep listening across all of Novo's work. So, for example, we spent a year listening and learning to girls of color and their advocates, which helped to guide a recent $90 million commitment to girls of color across the United States. Now, that really led to supporting so many incredible organizations in Atlanta and across the South.
So that was part of the life story moments of change that you guys launched a year ago to illuminate and share information about the unseen realities of commercial and sexual exploitation. Can you tell us a little bit about that program, and how did that program lead to the launch of the Life Story Grants?
We did launch the lifestory.org 1 year ago, which was designed to elevate the voices and the hopes of survivors who were exposed to harm in schools, in foster care, in housing, and in other systems who experienced intergenerational violence and trauma and whose past led to commercial sexual exploitation. So the goal of the life story is to share the realities for girls and women in the sex trade in the United States and to highlight the opportunities that they see for change. So in particular, we hope that the life story would highlight the role that systems play in creating the on-ramps or off-ramps into sexual exploitation and help practitioners who work in those systems to really see the chance that they had to shift those systems to work better for girls and women. You know, we know that by offering compassion, resources, and opportunity, practitioners can play a really important role in on-ramps to exploitation and closing them, or to opening on-ramps, but they really need the support for new thinking, new ideas, new partnerships. So that's what this new grant opportunity is designed to do. We are really thrilled to be announcing a $10 million three-year commitment for programs in the United States that work across six systems-focused moments: housing, medical and law enforcement, as well as trauma and mental health, immigration, and systems impacting youth.
Now, you've mentioned the on-ramps to sexual exploitation and off-ramps, and, you know, I don't think there's any child in America or in the world who grows up thinking, you know, I'm going to be a sex worker. You know, that is not the dream. So what specifically are the on-ramps that catch people, that cause them to get into this trap of sexual exploitation?
Yeah, thank you for that. I mean, what we know and what we have learned so much from survivors is that on-ramps occur when systems fail and create a pathway into exploitation, as you know, as you said so well. Let's take one example of housing, I think, to illustrate this. So we know that lack of safe and stable housing makes women and girls especially vulnerable to commercial sexual exploitation. Like, recruiters and traffickers actively seek out homeless youth, and all too often women and girls must exchange sexual acts in order to have a roof over their head. Traffickers use housing to coerce women and girls to stay in situations of exploitation, even when they want to leave. And when that same survivor has a criminal record for acts that are related to her exploitation, housing systems then deny her shelter. So even if she doesn't have a criminal record, many shelters require survivors to report their exploitation to the police and produce a police report before they can access housing. You know, and this can be such a huge barrier to survivors accessing immediate safety and housing. You know, it's a real cycle.
And then you've mentioned the exit ramps, and, you know, humans are creatures of habit, and I've heard and met young people, young women who have been rescued, you know, out of the sex trade, and, you know, they get on their feet and they're going forward with their lives. And then something happens. Maybe it's housing, maybe it's income. And the only thing that they know or can depend on or can rely on is going back into, you know, that environment. It almost is like an addiction. How do you create these on-ramps, and how do you make these on-ramps, you know, back into good life, sustainable for the victims of this, you know, crazy industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately that's why we need these exit ramps, because this is, you know, not what we know is this is not the problem of individual survivors or individual women or girls. This is about systems and structures that are in place which are making it impossible for them to exit. And so what we're saying is if we can support exit ramps which better meet the needs of girls and women experiencing commercial sexual exploitation, that is exactly what they need to be able to thrive. So if we were just to say, let's use the example of housing again, and we talked about housing in terms of closing off the on-ramps, but in terms of the exit ramps can be created, for example, when housing agencies develop new policies or budget approaches, as well as cross-system collaborations that enable adult women survivors of commercial sexual exploitation to access stable housing, to access employment opportunities, to access other services that they need. You know, or alternatively, if runaway and homeless youth programs had specific experience in developing supportive relationships with girls, particularly girls who identify as LGBT, those can be really important spaces for prevention of commercial sexual exploitation.
So these systems, and I want you to explain that just a little bit, because I think some listeners might not understand the systemic part that traps young girls and young women in this trade.
Sure. I mean, I think what I would say is that we know that girls and women who are trapped in commercial sexual exploitation are often the most vulnerable and marginalized women and girls in our society. They are girls and women who live at the intersection of multiple forms of oppression, of racism, of sexism, of homophobia, of all kinds of discrimination. And often they are experiencing violence even before the violence of the sex trade. So when we talk about addressing systems, we're thinking about how do we create safe and supportive systems which prevent girls and women from entering the life in the first place? And if they're in the life, how do we support exit ramps so that girls and women who are experiencing violence and exploitation have the opportunity to exit by having safe and supported housing opportunities, a safe school, safe medical community, all of the systems that can be in place, the safety nets to support women and girls who are vulnerable.
So now,
you know, this is really, I think what's really so important is for us is this is not about rescue, but about agency and power, and about recognizing that women and girls have inherent agency and power, but that the sex trade often rips them of that agency and power. So what we want to do is help give that back to them, right? So that women and girls have their own agency and have their own power, you know, to thrive.
And to make decisions about how they want their life to be rather than being, you know, caught in this trap, almost a cycle of abuse and exploitation.
What we know is, right, that women and girls can find themselves, you know, because the structures and the systems that are in place that can trap women and girls, that we want to support women and girls so that they can live in their full power. And address the systemic discrimination and violence that they're experiencing,
which we all need as humans to thrive. So now, Ms. Schiffman, what types of organizations do you want to apply for the foundation grants? You're currently accepting letters of inquiry across six, you know, system focused moments that include housing, medical needs, law enforcement, trauma and mental health, immigration, and those systems impacting youth. So what kind of organizations are you all looking to engage with?
Yeah, I think we think there's a huge potential for practitioners across these systems to really see even more clearly the connection that they have to commercial sexual exploitation and the chance for new creativity, experimentation, and programming to create exit ramps and improve the lives of girls and women. So we, for example, are imagining that folks will apply for this opportunity who are doing work with vulnerable or marginalized girls or women, but who don't necessarily see themselves as an organization addressing commercial sexual exploitation. They might be an organization working in addiction services, for example. And so this is an opportunity to think more directly about the relationship between addiction services and survivors of commercial sexual exploitation.
Okay, now what does NOVO hope to accomplish with these grants? What do you want to come out of this 3-year period?
Over the long term, we want to create a world where every girl and every woman can live completely free from all forms of violence and discrimination. Over the near term, we hope to deepen the movement to end commercial sexual exploitation by creating a whole new community of people working across these systems who are inspired, who are energized, and who are supported to close on-ramps and open exit ramps away from exploitation. We hope to make the visible, we hope to make the invisible visible, you know, the role of systems in fueling exploitation and the chance we all have, every single one of us, to shift those systems to better serve the needs of the most marginalized girls and women. You know, we're really honestly so excited to see the ideas that we're going to receive and are looking forward to hearing the brilliance of all of the activists and practitioners out there.
Now, Ms. Schiffman, you seem so passionate this morning sharing this information with us. How did you come to work with the Novo Foundation?
I'm passionate about this work, and I'm passionate about the opportunity to create a more just society for everyone. I come to this work as a lifelong social justice activist. I have spent most of my adult life working to end violence and discrimination against girls and women globally, including here in the United States. And right before I came to the Novo Foundation, I was at the United Nations. I was at UNICEF, where I worked to end violence against girls and women in situations of armed conflict. So really, my life has always been dedicated to creating freedom and justice and liberation and equity for everyone. And so when I had the opportunity to come over to the Novo Foundation and to be able to do this work in a way that supported incredible, powerful movement leaders who were working to create justice in their communities and to support really amazing movement leadership, I was thrilled to be able to join the foundation.
Can I just ask you, one of the other things that stuck out to me in learning about your work was the fact that about 88% of girls and women who have survived the sex trade report being in contact with healthcare providers. But then healthcare providers say that they've only treated about 6%, you know, across their careers. Are our systems just missing an opportunity to step in and engage and help these women who are caught?
Yes, exactly as you said. I think what we think is so critically important right now is we need to make visible that which is invisible. And that is true across every system and sector, including the healthcare system. So the opportunity to raise awareness among healthcare practitioners about commercial sexual exploitation and about what the needs are for survivors and how healthcare practitioners can actually support survivors to live in their full power is exactly what this opportunity is all about.
And for our listeners who want more information, who may want to apply for the grant, how can they reach out to you and follow up?
Absolutely. So what we would recommend is going to the www.novofoundation.org. And you can find all the information, including frequently asked questions, as well as, a whole bunch of information that I think will help your listeners to find out more.
And that's novofoundation.org, N-O-V-O, foundation.org. Pamela Schiffman, thank you so much for coming and sharing with our listeners this morning.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Take care.
Take care.